It's my privilege to introduce to you Reverend James McDaniels, who, as he mentioned in his sermon this morning, hails from the city of brotherly love. He has attended three Concordias, Bronxville and St. Paul and here in St. Louis, has served congregations in New York State, also served more recently as pastor of Hope Lutheran in Omaha, and as project director of Black Ministry for the Nebraska District. In his present position as secretary for Black Ministry of the Board for Mission Services of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, he has as his special areas of concern the planting of new congregations and also the strengthening of existing ministries. He's married. His wife and son will be moving to St. Louis with him next year, and his office will then move from Omaha to the Synodical Office Building. His topic for this morning is Black Ministry, its needs or challenges and opportunities in North America today and tomorrow. So would you welcome, please, Reverend McDaniels.
Thank you very much, Professor Kapiski, for those kind words. My greetings to you, distinguished members of the faculty, and particularly your president, Pastor Dr. Barth, who I knew prior to entering the ministry, and we're thankful for his leadership in the South Wisconsin District, and now is also as president of the seminary. We're very happy that he's here and providing leadership for you, also to all the faculty and students. It's good to be here. I'm kind of nervous about this because, you know, as a student, you have all these great images about all these buildings, you know. When I first came here, I was in awe of the facilities and of the plant and of the campus itself, you know, of all this Gothic structure and, you know, all these quads and these famous buildings named after all these dead Lutheran heroes. You know, you get in awe and all of that. You know, you also have these images of how you are to be the seminarian. You know, I had this impression that once you got to the seminary, you're going to be dressing around, walking around like friar monks, constantly worshiping and praising, and everyone would say, "Peace to you, brother," and you would go, "Peace back." And you know, you have those images. Well, they're soon erased once you get here and become a student and get into reality of it all in some ways. But coming back here, this is the first time I've had an opportunity to come back and speak to students as well as to faculty. This is kind of a unique experience, but also a frightening experience. So if I seem a little bit nervous or shaking the boots, please forgive me. I'm not used to speaking to people who once trained you to become a pastor, and now they think you are somewhat of an expert. They invite you back to share your pearls of wisdom. So again, I'm very happy to be with you here this afternoon or this morning, and to share a little bit on the topic of the challenges that we have in Black ministry within our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I had the opportunity prior to taking on this position as Secretary for Black Ministry and working with our church body and evaluating Black ministry over the last 10 years. We took the benchmark of basically 1974 through 1984 as a good time to evaluate where we were and what we have achieved in the past and what we hope to achieve in the future in relationship to Black ministry. Just to briefly share with you, in the year or the decade of the 70s, we as a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod only planted two Black congregations. The rest of the congregations, which were three, came from transitional ministry, so a total net of five during the whole decade of the 70s. If you look at the statistics, as I mentioned in my sermon, that the Census Bureau is telling us, by the year 2000, Blacks, Hispanics, and Asians will make up a new majority of this country, which means that for us who are looking at expanding and growing as a church body and as well as future congregational pastors, we need to be aware of the fact that there aren't any more big groups coming in from Saxony up to Missouri waiting upon the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to welcome them into their churches. We need to be reminiscent of the fact that we need to prepare ourselves for a completely different clientele, so to speak, using, you know, business-type terms, as far as witnessing and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that should affect all of us who are in this room. Because whether we be professors or students, we need to prepare ourselves for the fact we'll be ministering to a completely different clientele than what we have done in the past. So in reviewing Black ministry statistics and the information that we gather, I found quite interesting and quite alarming for our church body to understand and to comprehend so that it may prepare itself for these new challenges that our Lord continues to share with us as we continue to be proclaimers of his gospel. One of the first things that we noticed in our survey was the fact that, for the most part, the relationships between Blacks to Blacks and Blacks to the white church body has been, at best, poor. Relationships between these congregations have not been as well as we would have hoped. Not to say that relationships between those congregations in the circuit or in the district or even between the Senate were all that good, but they were even worse when you look at the congregations that we have involved in Black ministry. And let me share with you a statistic. There are approximately 350 congregations of the total 6,000 or more congregations that right now recognize the opportunities and are serving in Black ministry. However, you could easily add additional 150 to maybe even 250 additional congregations that have the opportunities in Black ministry, and I mean in the sense that they are sitting in Black communities, or their schools are 90 or 80 or even 100% with Black and other minority population, yet their congregation is still completely white, or in opportunities where there is a ministry very nearby in that community where they could be serving. You could probably, as I said, add additional 150 to 250 congregations. This is a sizable group of congregations and opportunities that we have in Black ministry. Let me share with you another frightening statistic. We have approximately 89 Black pastors within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which almost doubles the number of Black pastors that will be making up the new church body of the AELC, LCA, and the AELC. Of which, of that 89, by the way, six of them graduated last year from our two North America seminaries, of that 89, a third of them are either at retirement age or beyond retirement age. I'm talking about pastors such as Pastor Albert Dominick, who is serving in Alabama, in the rules of Alabama, who right now will be celebrating his 88th or 87th birthday in the ministry. Still an active pastor. I'm talking about pastors such as Pastor Godfrey Laurent of Compton, California, who just celebrated his 74th birthday. In fact, when I just recently had a visit to Southern California, I asked him, when are you going to retire? And he said to me, well, I believe before you retire, you have to be tired. And at this point, I don't feel tired yet, so I'm not going to retire. We're thankful to God for those type of spiritual individuals because they have really helped us greatly in making the situation better than it could be, in the sense that without those individuals, we would be worse off. We also, that 89, have individuals like myself who are no longer in congregational ministries, such as serving on a district level or a synodical level. We have one who is serving in foreign mission work in Lagos, Nigeria. That's James Tyler. We have individuals who are serving in prison ministries full-time and military chaplaincy ministries and a whole bunch. So right now we're talking only out of that 89, approximately 45, 46 are in congregational ministries. So that shows you that we're right now really experiencing a crisis, that we cannot provide a Black pastor for congregations who desire Black pastors, but because of the present number and looking at the enrollments this year, do not seem that we're going to turn that thing around in the near future. I guess it's also a reality to realize that Black ministry, like any ministry of our church, is not necessarily just provided by the indigenous people of that group. For example, we will never become a church body that will ever have all Asians doing Asian ministry, or all Hispanics doing Hispanic ministry, or all Blacks doing Black ministry. Even though in many cases it may be preferable or even helpful to the ministry, it's going to take many other people, individuals just like yourself, who are going to be willing to truly, as the Lord says, deny yourself and deny all your family and all the things that you're used to give up everything and to go into a culture that is truly foreign to many of you. But yet, in all these indigenous cross-cultural cultures, you will find a love. You will find opportunities for ministry. you will find a greatness and a capacity for your leadership that probably you will never, ever find within your own community to the fullness that can be offered in ethnic and cross-cultural ministries. I say all that to kind of give you a little background to some of the statistics and information I will be sharing with you, just to say that even though we are not doing as well as we could, the Lord has truly blessed us in many ways and continues to give us opportunities to serve. One of the critical factors, as I mentioned earlier, was the fact that we have had recognized poor relationships between black-to-black congregations and black-to-white congregations. The only situations that have been positive in the sense where congregations that are involved in black ministry have gotten together have not necessarily been because of the church or its structure, but basically been because of the auxiliary, such as the LWML. The LWML has truly reached out to their brothers and sisters in black and other ethnic communities and invited to participate in their functions, and in many ways have provided some of the only links of cross-cultural or cross-cultural ministry opportunities for both communities that they have in many communities. Occasionally, there may be occasional services such as Reformation services or other services of that nature. The Circa Forum in recent years has helped bring a lot of these congregations to begin to share their ministry. But overall, people in our churches do not understand what is going on in black ministry, and in many cases are not striving even to do what I would call typical fellowship things in order to better understand the opportunity and challenges and mission opportunities that our Lord has given us in these communities. This is particularly critical when you talk about the fact that if we are seriously going to be a church that's going to reach out our doors to the ever-growing ethnic and black population, we need to understand what challenges and how we can work together in order to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many times in the past, we have looked at that responsibility as being something for the district and the Senate, which in many ways has never really taken that responsibility in any other ministry or mission opportunity of the church. If you look at the way in which we plant church, it is not by the district, it is not by the Senate, but it's basically congregations and people who gather together, see opportunities, and go out and begin to plant new churches using the resources that are available to them in the community, and then, when necessary, seeking the help of district and synodical officials and organizations. I believe this is very important as we look at the opportunities that the Lord has given us, that in many cases, they are going to fall on your shoulders as future pastors of our church body. It is going to take your vision and your help by the blessing of God to go out and to motivate your congregation to truly be a church that is in mission. You know, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has had a history of being a mission-minded church. Many of us, I'm sure, in this room came to the knowledge of that because of the mission activities of our church body. But if you look at the successful missions, you will have to understand that the closer it got to the grassroots of the people and their hearts, the most success that we have had in sharing and spreading that gospel. That is particularly true when we talk about black ministry. Black ministry is only going to succeed or fail depending on how the people within the congregations and in the pews of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod adopt it and begin to see that as a priority. The way that they can better understand that is to understand and to visit and to participate with the opportunities that God has given them in their local community, so that if there is a black congregation or a congregation that's involved in black ministry, if they could begin to start doing sharing fellowship events and make it an event that is truly not something that is patronizing, but something in which they can share and truly begin to see how our Lord has called us together to be in mission and ministry, these are the type of opportunities that will truly enhance and help black ministry to grow and to flourish. As I have said, and I cannot underscore, I believe that the pastor is the link to allowing this to happen and to truly allow the Spirit to move among us. Because without the pastor and his support, I believe it will not happen, nor will the people in the congregations understand their opportunities to be in mission and ministry. In the black community in particular, the black pastor is truly the link, not only between that congregation and the community, but also between those in his circuit, in his district, and yes, even in his Senate. In many ways,
there are more opportunities for the pastor to truly demonstrate that leadership and his resource gifts so that the mission and ministry may flourish. I cannot tell you the number of examples that I have witnessed over my travels during the past year where newly recent graduates of our seminaries have truly taken on this vision and have truly instilled new life and new purpose for those congregations that are involved in black ministry. Thirdly, the Senate in general is perceived as something that is distant and far away. And that's quite logical when you think of it, that normally when we look upon the Senate, it's usually in time of trouble. Very rarely do we look at the Senate as a resource that we could enhance or help, but only when we have the last resort do we usually turn to the Senate. In many ways, Senate has tried to change that image and begin to do what I call pre-diagnosis even before the situations become critical. We are spending more time and more resources not putting money into building and to maintenance, but begin to challenge our churches and our district leadership to be creative and to develop new mission and ministries that are maybe a little bit different than what we have done in the past. It may mean trusting individuals to use their skills, their talents, and their training to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that has not been traditionally done before. I believe that we in our synodical headquarters takes very seriously the mandate of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which is to start 300 new churches by the end of this decade, the majority of them being involved in ethnic ministry. And we believe that the best way that is going to happen is that we need to allow the leadership, both pastoral and lay, by the Spirit of God's Holy Spirit, to truly be in, to truly go out and to do and to share that gospel in a way that is truly beneficial and helpful to the culture of that community, and to use those things that they have learned and translate them into areas in which can be truly understand and used by the people, black people in particular, whom they're going to serve. Give you a case in point. I had an opportunity most recently to visit one of our churches here in the United States, and at the moment I can't think where. But I can remember when I walked into the service and sat down, I can remember the warmth that was greeted to me by the pastor and the leadership, where the elders truly became elders in the sense that they were showing their nurturing responsibility to the members and to the visitors and were truly making themselves available to the people who came into the church and made them feel welcome. The service was of such that I think it was true to the outline of the Lutheran traditions, but yet incorporated many of the cultural things of the black community that I believe was very helpful, such as black hymnody and other forms of worship that truly enhanced the worship and made the people feel at home. In many ways, when we go about doing black ministry or any ministry, we need to take seriously the cultural heritage of that community in which we want to witness the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and find ways in how we can truly be integrous to the doctrines of the Lutheran Church, but yet not letting the trappings of the traditional Germanic culture get in the way of transmitting that gospel. One of the frustrations that we, not only in Senate, but I'm sure in congregations have found is with the Black Ministry Commission and what its role is. When it was designed in 1977 by the convention, it was formed basically to do three things. One, it was formed to help plan, coordinate, and empower people and individuals to go about and do black ministry. What in essence happened is that when the Black Ministry Commission came into power, into being, many individuals, both pastors, laity, and even us in the synodical headquarters, looked at that as a way in which we can completely divorce ourselves of all the opportunities that we have in black ministry and let the commission do it. And the commission was never geared for, nor does it have the resources, nor does it have the staff to do all the things that is needful in order for black ministry to flourish. Many people identify the Black Ministry Commission not just by what was written in the Constitution, but began to add things that it truly does not have the role to do. For example, the commission is responsible for black pastors and the training of black pastors. Or the commission is responsible for changing the curriculum that is taught in our elementary, secondary, as well as colleges and seminaries. In many ways, at best, the commission can only be a bridge or a voice for black ministry goals and concerns. It is going to take the normal structure of our church to respond to these needs and to participate in a relationship with us so that the voices of black people who are involved in black ministry can be served and the total resources of our church can be shared and that the will and the Spirit of God can truly be proclaimed throughout the world. The Black Ministry Commission, I believe, will never will be nor should be considered as a answer or the program for black ministry within the Lutheran Church. At best, it can only be an agitator in which it does constantly remind us and help us to do the ministries that we are called to do to the whole population of the world. You know, when I look at the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where he says to go out and preach the word to all nations, I am mindful of the fact when he uses the term nations, he is speaking about people of different races, colors, and creeds. We at times think of nations as geographical borders that have been created by man. But our Lord is reminding us, I believe, in the text, is the fact that the gospel needs to be preached to all people, no matter what relationship prior to that they had with him, or what cultural that they are now experiencing or sharing, or with any other problems that they may be existing, that may exist. Black churches and black ministry is for all the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to be a part of. Therefore, when we have such things as Black Ministry Sunday, it is not just for the black population or those who are involved in black ministry, but it is something for all of us to pray for, to support, and to encourage, just like we would pray for any ministry of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or of the Church of Jesus Christ. I guess I would be amiss to not state that one of the critical problems that still exists within the church is the question of racism. For many of us, we still believe that racism does not exist in Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Granted, it is something that we would like to see go away. In many cases, we have put blinders on so we think it has gone away, but in too many situations, it has raised its ugly head and has affected the way in which we do ministry within our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. As my colleague Dr. Richard Dickinson says and challenges the church, how can you say that we are stepping back into racism when we haven't really stepped out of it? In many ways, we are still having problems in that area. In fact, the commission, as well as other black and other colleagues who are concerned about black ministry, have petitioned the CTCR, and they have adopted the topic of examining racism within our church and how it affects the way in which we do ministry. Let me give you a practical standpoint. If you look at the doctrine of church fellowship, which we are all under and would like to abide by. However, for congregations that are involved in black ministry, there is a wall there created by racism that prevents us from being in true fellowship with our brother fellow Lutherans in our same community as well as in our same districts. There are still churches existing today that will not accept blacks and other ethnic people into their worship services openly or warmly, that will not offer them the full services of that particular ministry or that particular church, particularly the communion table. I can remember where one black who was a visitor at the communion table of this one particular church just recently, and he was the first black who had been in that church in a good many years, by the way, was a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, was looking for a new church home because he transferred. And he happened to sit in the front of the church, which is kind of unusual for most of us sits in the back, but anyway. He was sitting in the front of the church and therefore was one of the first individuals to come up to communion. Do you know that particular Sunday there was an estimated count of 60% of the rest of the congregation did not participate in communion because it was common cup and did not participate because that black person took communion first. That's just one of many examples that I can demonstrate to you to show that racism still exists within our church body. We have congregations who are operating Lutheran schools. Even though they welcome the black students into their schools, would teach them Lutheran doctrine in their classes and by their teachers and even confirmation, but yet will not go the full mile and extend to them the hand of fellowship to participate in that congregation. Even though they are benefited financially, even by their mission, even by their whole soul purpose, but yet they will not allow them to be a part of that Christian community in that place. Until we are able to fully address racism and all the evil things of its head, I believe that we will still have a stumbling block around us and through us that will prevent us from doing full ministry within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to the black community. Besides those relationships that reflect racism, there are other concerns such as how do we relate to the black community as a church body? For many of us, traditionally, the church and its congregations have taken on a laid-back position when it comes to community and civic concerns. However, within the black community, the church is not only the spiritual foundation for the people, but also the political and civic base as well. If the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is going to be a full participant in black ministry and be a part of the ongoing activities of that community, it needs to recognize its role and leadership that it must play in order to be a part of the ever-increasing things that are challenging the black community. In the black church, there are many things that happen in the churches. In the black churches where the political campaigns of many individuals, both local as well as national leaders, have been formed and continue to flourish. In the black church, not only are we have the opportunity to share the Spirit of God and the power that is in His name, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for evangelism purposes, but we also have the power to change the plight of the people who are living in that community. In the past, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod has been responsive to ministering to the total man, and in, particularly in black ministry, we need to expand upon those ways in which not only can we spiritually make changes for people's souls, but also make changes for their lives as they live in that particular community. In general, black ministry has many opportunities, not only within the black community, but also to the church at large. I believe that black ministry is truly the soul of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. And through it, we can truly help our brothers and sisters live a life in which Christ would want us to live. And I go back to his words when he says, I give you a new commandment. That is that you love one another. You know, despite what you think happened at the last synodical convention and the decisions that were made either pro or con in your favor, one of the things that I'm concerned about that I didn't see much of, and that is the love that we are supposed to have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe that until we are able to magnify that love and demonstrate that love, we're going to have some difficult days ahead in order to communicate and share his gospel. Many of our brothers and sisters in other denominations truly appreciate the fact that we are a biblically based church, that we stand behind the Bible and all its principles. But one of the things that they have difficulty in understanding us is how can we talk about the love of Jesus and not share that love when we gather together in quote-unquote the ecclesiastical organization of structure within our church. We need to continue to find ways in which we can love one another and to truly allow that love to permeate all the things of our life. You know, one of the things that I really have to say about black people is that amid all the diversity, amid all the controversy, amid all the problems of all the oppression, all the racism, everything else you can hear about, we are still a people that love one another and care for one another and are still in this church body. If I could just recount to you, which I will talk a little bit later on, I think in this afternoon's presentation, the whole history of black ministry, most of you would probably have given up a long time ago if you were black. You would never understand why in the world that black people, after 109 years, are still with a bunch of Germans that really don't want to change. And in many ways, I think we are there not because of us and our lives, because we would have given it up a long time ago, but because of the fact that Christ lives in us. And Christ has showed us how to love amid diversity, amid oppression, and amid all the problems that Satan and the evil ones in this world are trying to put upon us. And we feel we have a mission. And that mission is to truly help our church body take on its full responsibility to be the church of God and to demonstrate that love to the fullest. I believe that black people stand willing and ready to assist our church by to truly give it some soul, so to speak, and helping it to love not only itself, but to reach out in that love and share that love with all of God's creatures. The past 10 years, I could probably say there is not much heart or much solace in the information that we found. We are losing ground in black ministry when it comes to communicant membership. Over the past 10 years, we have both lost in baptized membership as well as communicant membership within our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which is not typical of the fact that we're losing members in the white Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as well. However, that's a critical factor, again, as we look at the fact that our challenges for and opportunities for mission and ministry will not decrease, but increase through the years ahead. And we need to take fact that we need to look at ways in which we can bolster black ministry, not as a stepchild, not as a last resort, not as a second-class ministry, but a full ministry, in fact, probably the only ministry that is really going to give salvation to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod when it comes to reaching out to new souls and to new converts. I believe black ministry has the opportunities to truly challenge each and every one of you to a field that is truly blessed by our Lord and the opportunities that he will give to truly share that gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whether we be black, white, or Hispanic, God, I'm sure opens doors. But I believe in ethnic ministry, he particularly challenges us, not for the worst, but for the best that we have to offer to the glory of God. Black ministry should be looked at not as a way in which we put people who cannot maintain or function in any other ministry, but truly put our best. Put people who have good ideas, fresh, and a true understanding of what it means to be in mission ministry, as well as a good, solid background in our Lutheran confessions and doctrines. If we are to truly change in the direction in which our church body is going, we need to realize and put more emphasis on this opportunity that he has given us to do this mission of ministry. In closing, I believe that our Lord continues to bless us. We are right now in what I call a situation where our Lord has provided for us a porthole. I'm not sure how long that porthole will be open. It may be open 3 years from now. It may be open 5 years from now or 10 years from now. But one thing is for sure. As Scripture reminds us, we must truly make hay while it is light, because when darkness comes, no man can work. I believe our Lord and God has given us again an opportunity to change our ways and look at the challenges that he provides for us. But I'm not sure those challenges are going to be ahead of us 3 or 5 or even 10 years from now. I hope and pray to you as a seminary community that you will continue to look at ways in which you can truly help that gospel be preached in season and out of season, in communities that we are familiar with as well as communities we have no understanding, but trusting in his mercy and walking by the faith that we have in him, that he will truly show us the way and the direction that we are to go. If not, I don't think that our church body will be a major denomination within North America or, for that matter, within the world. We do not take advantage of these opportunities to begin to start planning leadership opportunities for these ever-increasing minorities that will soon be the majority of this land. I'm not sure they will listen to us when they are truly in control of this world by numbers. God has given us many resources, many gifts, many training opportunities. I hope that we will take advantage of these, particularly as they relate to black ministry, but to all mission ministry opportunities. For God has truly blessed us in a very unique way to share the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He continues to open doors for us in a community, in a black community that truly needs to hear that saving gospel. To people who are hurting, to people who are downtrodden, to people who are mourning, to people who are suffering, to people who desperately need to hear the words of our Lord and the actions that come from that power. I pray together that we will work together to truly instill that vision and to allow our church to be the church that it was called to be, to share the true gospel, the full gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to all of his people. May God bless us all in that endeavor. Thank you. Black ministry or what I said, yes. First of all, let me clarify something. I'm not talking about something that I personally would like to see, that is a separate
emphasis on culture or against a particular race over another. I'm just dealing with reality and what this nation is, and that is that it does promote cultural things, and it is important. I would love to have the great melting pot really be what it is, what is America, but it's not a melting pot. It's anything. It's Irish stew. In a sense, the carrots never become tomatoes. Tomatoes never become string beans. You know, it's just one stew in which we all begin to, you know, serve our Lord and serve Americans as Americans, but from our unique cultural way. I guess one of the ways that I would challenge individuals to better understand the opportunities they have in black ministry or any ethnic ministry of our church is to get to know it like I did. When I went to Concordia College, Bronxville, New York, as a student, I had taken Spanish in high school, which is like 2.5 years. But, you know, with the emphasis at that time that you needed to know German, Latin, and as well as Greek, I took first-year German. The best way for me to understand the language is to understand the culture. So I joined the German club as well. And one of the first activities of the German club was to go to Yonkers, New York, which is a strongly ethnic German neighborhood, and I attended my first Oktoberfest. Being the only black at this Oktoberfest, I guess I kind of stood out. I don't know why, but I guess I kind of stood out. And while attending the Oktoberfest, there was this gentleman in what I call in leather underwear, which was lederhosen, standing up at the front of the door to greet everybody coming to the auditorium, asking him in German, what part of Germany are you from? Or your ancestries are from? And, he asked all my classmates this question. I had to see if he had the gall to ask me. Sure enough, when he walked up to me, he said, young man, what part of Germany are you from? And, you know, without really thinking, I says, can't you tell I'm from the Black Forest? And then he came back to me and says, you know, the people in the Black Forest are a little bit darker than the rest of us. I say that story is to say that that's the type, I think, of dialogue that we need to take advantage of. We need to get into the inner cities. We need to get involved in black congregations. We need to get involved in issues that black people are concerned about. For example, right now, the biggest issue as far as black America is concerned about is apartheid. We need to understand why we're concerned about it. Why are we reaching out to our brothers in South Africa? By the way, I'm sure you heard last year, for those of you who are here, but, you know, there are a lot of black Lutherans in South Africa. You know, we're talking in excess of about 3 to 4 million, has been estimated. Africa itself is the fastest-growing nation as far as Christendom is concerned. As fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be concerned about people who are maybe Lutherans or at least fellow Christians who are experiencing something that to me is very distasteful, and that is apartheid. So we need to be concerned about those issues, examining, not to say that if we get to a suburban ministry, that doesn't affect me because I can't see it or I can't feel it. It does affect you because it does represent how you and the rest of your brothers and sisters in the ministry of the church are going to address those issues that are very important to a lot of other fellow Lutherans and Christians. So in essence, I would say, take advantage of all the opportunities you have to be involved in cross-cultural experience, just like any black or any other ethnic person has to take advantage of all the cultural experiences that are offered to us in order to better understand you and how we can go about together doing ministry. Any other questions? Yes. First is the use of terminology, integration. And when we looked at integration, integration to me is accepting the person and his cultural heritage, and together we take the best of those to strive together for the mission of ministry. In our church body, we haven't been involved in integration, but we've been involved in what I call assimilation. You come and be like me. You join my church, you understand my liturgy, my heritage, my background. And then we'll talk about how we may do some things that are programmatically and culturally identified with you. If we're talking about true integration, we need to allow both cultures to sit down and begin to say, how can we enhance our worship, the way that we do ministry, the issues that we face, so that it's truly integrated and not separate congregations. Because if we're truly trying to put them together, it's going to come out assimilation. And where we are have true separate identities. But we need to say, these are some of the values and heritages that are important to my culture. These are some of that are important to the culture that is inviting. Let's see what we can do together to truly enhance so that we are one culture. I think when I see congregations that have done that well, they have been the most successful in pulling together people from other backgrounds and other cultural heritages. If they understand the difference between integration and assimilation. And that goes across any ministry, by the way. There's a hand over here. I think the way that you facilitate it is you go down to the city to meet with the pastor and the people of that community and sit down together and talk about ways in which you can better understand one another first, and then in fellowship with one another do things that will get the people together. For example, there's a young pastor who's a graduate of this seminary, by the way, who just recently made a yoking with a new black ministry congregation to help his people better understand what it means to be in black ministry in that particular city, but also to truly be in mission. There was very little mission opportunities around him, but there was definitely a need for this particular floundering black ministry congregation to be yoked with another congregation. And now they're having Sunday school occasionally together. They're going to their German Oktoberfest, Lutheran festival, and then when the black congregation has its Kwanzaa festival, which is a big thing in the black community around Christmas time, they're coming down to understand that black culture. So there really is that type of experience, cross-cultural. So it's important for you as pastors to truly look at opportunities, whether it be in black ministry, Hispanic ministry, Asian ministry, whatever, to realize that ministry is a part of us. Even though we don't have those individuals within our pulpit, in our immediate community, that's still a part of our ministry, and not just something that we recognize on Black Ministry Sunday, or if Hispanics ever have a Hispanic Ministry Sunday, or Asians. It's a one Sunday type thing, but it's a way in which we can get involved with our total program to truly see how mission and ministry is done in that particular place. And out of that, that's where the church really grows and thrives. Hand over here first, and over here, yes. No, in fact, you know, if you look, I think public education and its whole emphasis of integration can demonstrate that. You can put them in the same school, but given the opportunity to eat lunch together, what happens? The blacks are on one side, the whites are on the other. You know, when you play sports type of thing, yes, there, unless the coach can really develop that teammanship where, you know, blacks and whites together are working, it can again split that way where the blacks will try to be, you know, jocks and the whites will try to do their thing. So it's very important that you allow for some of that cultural separation to go on, because it's going to happen and it will help. But another way is you need to constantly challenge people that we are the body of Christ. We work together. One cannot be more important than the other, that we all need to use our talents and gifts and offer them, not in an assimilated way, but an integrated way to allow for his full mission to happen and mission opportunity to happen in that place. So I would say you need to do both. In a sense, you need to be cognitive of that and find ways to do that. One of the ways I find is that, for example, the little old ladies, and I don't, that's kind of derogatory, but the little ladies' aid groups that are meeting, that are afraid to come out to church at night because of the community and whatever, that are afraid to do some of that cross-cultural work directly, maybe in an indirect way, for example, in the group, one of the groups I work in, I had the ladies make cookies for the Vacation Bible School, which was ministering to the people in the community. I mean, they use their gifts so that their gifts can truly benefit the community. Now, I couldn't get them to come down there and meet a black family or meet a black child, but at least I could get them to make cookies, and at least in their minds, they are making a contribution to that ministry. We need to look at ways in which we can help the various groups work with one another, but not necessarily challenge them to the fullest. That is that you got to be in this place to do that. In Omaha, we every year have a Christmas carol where we bring the young people of our various communities to carol in the black community. And for the first time, many of these young people have gone through communities that heretofore they had stereotypes of prejudices that, you know, there was going to be crime, you know, they were going to be attacked, they were going to be raped, whatever the case might be. And yet through this Christmas carol experience, it has now mushroomed where they're now inviting their friends, and it's almost like running around with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir with candles. People are wondering, you know, what's happened to the neighborhood. But it truly is a way in which you can, you know, through that program, get people exposed and give them an opportunity to help them see that this is an important ministry, and it's appreciated. So look at those, you know, be creative. Look at those type of programs. Yes? There's a more positive relationship between members, lay members to white pastors than it is between black pastors and white pastors, primarily, particularly because of the older pastors and their experience on the Synodical Conference, which was a very segregated, repulsive, oppressive situation. It's like if you keep beating a dog long enough, he's never going to really trust you, no matter how much love you show to him later on. And the Synodical system and the way that we did black ministry for so many years was that type of oppressive beating situation, that until those pastors are called to glory, we are going to be able to really change that relationship, because there cannot really be love to a white pastor, even though he had nothing to do with it, that particular situation. But because he's white, he exemplifies something of a very negative hardening of the heart experience. And until those pastors, I guess, get called to glory, we won't be able to turn that to be more positive. With the younger pastors, we will see a lot more closer relationship. But with the older pastors experience at Synodical Conference, it's got to be God's will, not ours. That will happen. Yes? In many cases, it does. In many cases, it doesn't. And it's comfortable for those individuals in the sense that many congregations are comfortable with the Lutheran traditions, and that's why they joined it. But in many cases, they would like to occasionally have some openings as far as hymnody and other ways in which will, again, give opportunity for bringing up their worship experience. For example, the term of the altar call, in the sense that I believe it's important for all of us to rededicate our lives to Jesus Christ in a public way. To have a revival in which we concentrate on the Word and have services of rejoicing again are situations that could not only benefit the black community, but benefit the whole community. We need to look at things from the positive standpoint to say that these are things that we've done in our tradition that could be very well helpful and useful in that ministry. Yes, sir. That model is also being used in black ministry in the Milwaukee area. They're challenging the schools and churches that are in the inner city to have an additional worship service, which will truly be an evangelistic worship service to meet the needs of the children and the parents who are now presently going to their churches that do not have a church home or are not as closely affiliated to the church home, what I call under church, as they could be. So, yes, there are ways in which the Lutheran church is being challenged to look at ways without really what I call polluting the traditional form and causing a lot of problems with the, you know, with the existing whites, but to find ways in which, in a very evangelical, evangelistic type way, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but have a target audience that is particularly responsive to its particular culture and heritage. So yes, it's a good system, and we need to try it more. You're saying that's our doctrine, the separation of the two kingdoms of the state? I'm not so sure that's our doctrine, is the separation of the church and state. I know it's the government's doctrine, supposedly. I would say in many cases, when I talk about the church needs to be actively involved within the community, I'm not espousing that we start using the pulpit for political views or issues, as in many cases are. And that's not truly, literally done in all black churches, because I just had a recent conversation with a Baptist pastor who said, I never will allow my pulpit to be used for anything except preaching of the word. But I think we need to realize that the church is a political force within the community. And we need to find ways within our structure, outside of the worship setting or outside the word and sacrament setting, to allow that to happen rather than to say that we're closed to it. Because in closing ourselves to it, it means that we're not concerned about the issues that are facing the people in that community. So we need to sit down with our brothers and sisters and find out ways in which we can cooperatively work together as we have on other issues, such as the issue of abortion. You know, that's where our church body has taken a stand and is working with other social and civic agencies as well as other Christian agencies. I just got a letter about Christians Against Pornography, which is something that, again, several of our church leaders are supportive of, particularly children being involved in pornography. And there are many other social community issues that our church has traditionally been a part of. But in the black church, it's even that more, much more important that they witness and say that we stand together with those issues on the local community, not just on the national level. So we can do that, and we have done that in the past. And it's not considered worship. You know, this is something I'm dealing with CTCR. When I sit on a forum that happens to be in a church that's talking, let's say, about pro-life, that happens to be in a pulpit, in many ways it has worship forms, worship trappings. It opens with a prayer. You know, someone may begin a speech and really is preaching. But that's the form and the format he understands. Now, to do that, it's not unionistic, but it's a way in which those issues are presented and in which the way that the community draws it together to give it attention to those issues. And again, from a spiritual dimension, say, we, the members of the Christian church in this place, feel that we need to address it. And that's a form that we need to be cognitive of as we continue to witness our ministry and not think that we're violating any doctrine rules like we're worshiping or doing unionistic activities. Thank you again for your attention.